On this Sunday, second Sunday of Advent, the second Sunday of a brand new church year, we continue our road trip following in the earthly footprints of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. As I stated last Sunday, we'll study and familiarize ourselves with the towns and the people and the stories that we'll encounter and meet along the way as we go and take another trip around the sun. This morning, we're in the village of Nazareth. Now, I'm not sure how much y'all know about Nazareth. I'm not talking about Nazareth, Texas. I'm talking about Nazareth in Israel, Palestine. What do we know about this village, this town known as Nazareth? Well, on the surface, there isn't much about Nazareth that would impress us. In fact, Nazareth is the epitome of small town. In fact, I would dare say Nazareth is the first small town ever. Excavations and geological surveys have been done, and the entire village or town of Nazareth was no more than about 60 acres wide. It wasn't big. Less than 400 people lived in the town of Nazareth during Jesus' time, and many of them were related to each other. So there isn't much in Nazareth that would have impressed us. In fact, it was so insignificant of a town back in Jesus' day that Nathanael, as we read about in the gospel, Nathanael, disciple of Jesus, asked his friend Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Yes, the town of Nazareth seems to have been an extremely unimportant town in Israel. At least, again, on the surface. As a matter of fact, the town or village of Nazareth isn't even mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. As such, we might be tempted to think that Nazareth wasn't all that important to God either. We might be inclined to believe that it was just an accident that Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, came to live in Nazareth. We might even believe that it was just an accident that Jesus was conceived in this town and was raised in Nazareth. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that none of it was an accident. As a matter of fact, God does nothing accidentally or by coincidence. He would not be God if he did things accidentally or haphazardly. How do I know? Because the very definition of being a God requires our God to be fully in control at all times and in all places, to be in command of all that there is. And for God and for us to somehow suggest that there is such thing as an accident or coincidence with God is to render God not God. He'll be just like one of us. So Nazareth was exactly in God's plan even before the town was formed and named as Nazareth. And yes, Nazareth was exactly where God wanted Jesus to grow up. Nazareth was the hometown that God intended for Jesus to have and to be in and to be raised around. Again, how do I know this? Because it is prophesied by the prophets of old. Now, I'm sure many of you are probably confused by now and asking, wait a minute, how is it prophesied by the prophets of old when it doesn't show up or doesn't appear in any scripture in the Old Testament? Well, last Sunday, we read in Matthew chapter 2 about how, after having lived for several years in Egypt as refugees, Joseph and Mary took little baby Jesus back to Israel, and Matthew tells us, and they lived in a town called Nazareth. So Matthew's gospel informs us that the words of the ancient prophets declaring he will be called a Nazarene was fulfilled. According to Matthew, the text, the proof positive that Jesus was intended, planned by God to live in Nazareth, to grow up there, was fulfilled. Now, the prophecy that Matthew is referring this prophecy for came out of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, which we read this morning, which says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, what is he talking about? I'm not seeing anything about Nazareth or a Nazarene from Isaiah's prophecy. Well, maybe Matthew got it wrong, and maybe it was Jeremiah's prophecy he was talking about, where Jeremiah declared, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Well, no, the name Nazareth or Nazarene isn't in Jeremiah's prophecy either. So why did Matthew say that it was prophesied by the prophets that the Messiah will be called a Nazarene, that the Messiah will be called and known as from Nazareth? Well, let's look at this two ancient prophecies a little closer. The main point or the message that these two prophecies have in common is that they both talk about a branch. A branch from the line of King David that shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. That's what Jeremiah prophesied. Yes, they both talk about a branch. From Isaiah, he's talking about a branch from the stump of Jesse, Jesse being King David's father, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Again, the name Nazareth or Nazarene is nowhere found in the Old Testament, nor in the old prophecies. But the hope, the expectation, and the anticipation that a Savior from the line of David will someday come and will definitely, and was definitely foretold by the prophets. Here's how. See, the Hebrew word netzer, which in English we translate to a branch, that happens to be the root word for the word Nazareth or Nazarene. That's what the prophecy of Jeremiah and Isaiah was referring to. That netzer, the branch, the one that comes out from the stump of Jesse. So according to Matthew's interpretation, of these two ancient prophecies, the Messiah, the long-awaited and promised King and Savior of God's people, he had to come from Nazareth. He had to come from the Netzer, from Nazareth, the branch. Now, through his life and ministry on earth, Jesus fulfilled about 300-some prophecies of the Old Testament. And each of those prophecies served like his badge of office, his credentials that said, I am who I say I am. And one of these credentials was that Jesus was called a Nazarene, or someone who hailed from the town of Nazareth. This then fulfills Isaiah and Jeremiah's prophecies. Now, what difference did it make if Jesus fulfilled this particular prophecy or not? What importance is it? Well, the words Nazareth and Nazarene appears a total of 30 times in the New Testament, 0 in the Old Testament. And each time that the word Nazareth or Nazarene appears in the New Testament, they are associated directly with Jesus. What's even more significant is that Jesus was called by this title by both angels, even demons called him Jesus of Nazareth. Friends and enemies of Jesus called him by this title, Jesus of Nazareth. And as we heard in our gospel reading from John chapter 1, Philip went to his friend Nathanael and said, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the laws and the prophets foretold. And of course, he says, he's the one. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Later, when Jesus cast a demon out in Capernaum, the demon cried out, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? That's in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, Pontius Pilate ordered the sign above his head to read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And when Jesus rose from the dead, an angel told the women who came to the tomb that early morning, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. And when Jesus confronted and blinded Saul, who became Paul, as he was on his way to Damascus, Saul asked, who are you, Lord? And Jesus identified himself, saying, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. So there's got to be a reason why Jesus was called to be Jesus of Nazareth or the Nazarene. Otherwise, he could have been called Jesus of Galilee or Jesus of Capernaum or Jesus of Jerusalem or Jesus of Israel as a whole, but he wasn't. He was called specifically Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Well, from the very beginning, everything about Jesus was plain and simple. When Jesus was born, he was born in a barn. He was born in a barn and placed in the feeding trough of barn animals. And when he was born, who did the angels make their first announcement to? Common, ordinary shepherds. Not kings, not priests, not prophets, not politicians, but plain, ordinary, stinky, hardworking shepherds. And Jesus could have been born and raised in Jerusalem, in the capital of Judah, or any other of our other great cities in Israel. But instead, God chose this obscure and unimportant city like Nazareth, like Bethlehem. Now, why would God do that? Well, having a wife that used to work in the fine jewelry department of JCPenney for 20-some years, I know this much, that if you've ever been into a jewelry store, you'd notice that the jewels and diamonds are displayed against plain and stark backgrounds. It's long been a tradition to display gems against the background that contrast their beauty. The more precious the jewel, the more plain and stark the background, so that the beauty of the gem is highlighted. That's an intentional act on jeweler's part. And that's what God did with Jesus. Jesus, the most precious gift of God, the most precious gift that God could ever give humanity, was displayed in his birth against the starkness of our weakness and our struggles. You know, in Psalm 144, verse 3, David asks, "O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him?" And God answered with Jesus. And God said, "I care for you so much that I want to give you my one and only son. Not to the wealthy or to the healthy or to the privileged, but to the lowest and most unimportant people, so that you might see the majesty and the power of this single solitary child and understand what he came to do." That was God's design, God's plan, God's intentionality in having Jesus be born and raised in such lowly towns. Now, the beauty of the gift of Jesus indeed sparkled, and I hope it still sparkles for you, for us, in the 21st century. You see, God placed him amongst the kinds of people that Jesus would die for. So Jesus grew up in Nazareth so that the glory of his majesty and might be better seen, better appreciated, better highlighted, and better received. And there's another reason that Nazareth was probably chosen by God to be the town, the village that Jesus was raised in. See, God didn't want Jesus tied up with the money and the majesty that tends to impress mankind. You know, in my second congregation, I got a call one day from a Christian radio talk host. Apparently, he has heard one of my sermons and was really, really impressed. It was one of those online sermon things that I submitted. He was impressed, and so he wanted to interview me. So he called me, and we set up a time, and we met, and then he began to ask me a question, and then he asked, "So, how large is your congregation?" And I told him, "Oh, probably 150, 160. and his whole face changed. His whole attitude changed. See, he thought that I would have brought more followers or listeners to him if I had said, I'm the senior pastor of a mega church of, 7,500 members. That would have spoke volumes to him and his brother. But when I told him, about 150, 60, everything changed. See, had Jesus been raised in Jerusalem or in some big prestigious cities, it would have been impressive to some. But he would not have lifted up what he has come to do. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and following, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." See, God tells us here that he wasn't looking for the wise or the influential or the noble born for his servants. Instead, he chose people like me, people like you. God looks for common, ordinary people to work through. And Jesus repeatedly drove this truth home to his disciples. Many of them often wanted to go big, otherwise we'll go home. But Jesus drove home that he has come to reveal God's power, glory, and majesty through common, ordinary people. Yes, it all started with his birth in a common manger in Bethlehem. It continued with his growing up in common and unknown city named Nazareth. And he refused to become part of the important religious crowd of his day. Instead, he chose 12 common, uneducated men for his disciples. And ultimately, with his being crucified, he ended up being crucified between two criminals. Again and again and again, Jesus drove home the fact that he came for the common and ordinary people. People who struggled and who hurt and who didn't have all the answers. People who needed a God who knew. God who knew what they were going through. People who needed a God to listen to them. That's what Jesus of Nazareth was all about. He came to live among people who lived up secure, unrecognized, and isolated lives. He touched people who others would rather not touch or come around or be around with. He spent his time with common people who are lepers and lame, those whom society would have called losers and sinners, people that righteous folks didn't really want anything to do with. That's who Jesus of Nazareth hung around with. And the truth of the matter is that when Jesus came to town, it didn't matter what town he came into, When Jesus came into town, lives were changed and changed for the better. Well, friends, this Advent season, we're on a road trip following in Jesus' earthly footprints. And as we do, I pray that we pay attention to how lives are being changed, including our own lives, as we go down the road, as we study, as we discover and encounter new towns, new people, new stories, including our own. And as we go down the road, it is my prayer that the Nazarene, the branch, the Netzer, Jesus of Nazareth, accompany you, touch you, fill you, empower, provide, and sustain you to last the journey. And may Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth that we've come to know and love, who has given himself for us, may that Jesus, the branch of David, the Netzer, may he who was, he who is, and he who shall again, ever more present in your life, day in and day out. Amen.